It's working. All right. All right, guys. So excited to get a chance to share with you. You know, we're going to be talking about some stuff in Galatians 2. And, you know, tonight, I'm excited. I've found some stuff in there that shouldn't shock you, but something I really just kind of felt the Lord just highlighting to me, if you will. So I want to jump right into it. You guys remember in Galatians 2, when we've seen this already in our study, there was a point where Paul had to confront Peter to his face. Remember, we remember what the issue was, but the way that it reads, to just to refresh everybody, was it said that when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But then afterward, when some friends of James's came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. Right? He was afraid of the criticism from the people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. And Paul says this. He says, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter, in front of all the others, since you, being a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles live and follow the Jewish traditions? As we think about this, just picture in your mind, you probably already have, but picture that scene in your mind. Peter, you know, remember the church is fairly new, but Peter's a pretty big deal. And Paul's a pretty big deal in his own right. So here, these guys are confronting right in front of a whole bunch of other people, which is really kind of textbook for the way not to do it, right? We all kind of know better than that, but that's what happened. But picture that scene. And just, you know, rhetorically, here's some questions, you know. What are some of your initial reactions regarding Paul? When you read this, what does it make you think about him? Do you admire him? If you do, what is it that you admire? What do you think about the way that he did what he did? Or maybe do you think, I kind of like to be that kind of a guy, right? Be willing to go kind of toe-to-toe with somebody if it was necessary. Think about this. What would the impacts have been on the Galatians if Paul hadn't have spoken up? I'm not going to say nothing, not worth the hassle. What would have happened with those Galatian people? Because they were caught in the mix, right? They're getting ready to be sent down a very wrong road. So had Paul not spoken up, think about how that would have played out for the Galatians. And just as importantly, think about what would have happened in the life of Peter. You know, Peter himself was kind of going off the rails a little bit here. And so had Paul not said something and stepped in, how would that have worked out for Peter? Now, interestingly, the scriptures seem to indicate that, you know, Paul's time with Peter had been limited. So I'm not convinced that these guys had a close or tight relationship. Remember, Paul's out in Asia Minor. He's doing all of his stuff. Peter's hunkered down in Jerusalem doing all his things. And so I don't think that they had a close relationship. But regardless, as I read about it, I'm struck about this one thing, and that is the importance of having another man of character in your life. Because when I think what would have happened to the Galatians, what would have happened in Peter's life, how important that is. And I'm talking about relationships that go beyond the casual ones, right? We all get that. There's nothing wrong with a casual relationship. But Peter, in this case, right, needed something other than a casual Paul. Peter needed something entirely different. And Peter needed a not casual Paul to help him see something he couldn't see in himself. And honestly, there are those times where really we're not all that different. And that's why, you know, even Matt talked about this tonight. He talked about it's not good for us to be alone. Well, that's part of the reason, right? Because we need other people sometimes to tell us when we're kind of getting off the rails or something's going a little bit wonky. And even though it may not come too often, guys, here's just a real reality, right? And that is that there are times in life when we need that same thing. You know, we need a friend who cares enough for our soul, who cares about your soul, cares about your family, cares about your walk with God enough, right, to suffer the awkwardness and maybe step in. They're willing to risk damaging the relationship and saying something when things seem to be moving in a bad direction. So let me give you a personal example. I was 30-something, so much younger than I am now. 30-something, I was a worship leader at a church. It was one of my first paying ministry jobs. And I had a pastor there great guy. And he had made a joke one time from the platform, just saying, hey, he told the sound guy, turn me up in my monitor. He says, I'm my own favorite preacher. I want to hear myself a little bit more, because he just likes some more volume. It was just a joke. He's just teasing. Well, I was 30-something and just still figuring some things out. And one way or the other, I kind of adopted that phrase. So apparently, I ended up using that a couple times. I don't know how many, but apparently it was too many, and you'll see why. So I must have regurgitated this thing, just teasing that I might be my own favorite worship leader, turn me up in the monitor or something, but there must have been some other stuff. So I had a friend, Mike Owings, who's in heaven now. So Mike, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for saying something. He said he wanted to meet me at Subway Sandwiches. And we were very close, and so we sat down, and without going into the whole story, he pulled out his Bible, and he says, you know what, man? You're not supposed to be patting yourself on the back all the time. You're not supposed to be doing this. And I honestly just didn't realize it. I was not aware, and of course, I gulped, right? Because as everybody does when they're kind of being shut up, and he wasn't unkind about it, but I recognized that he was right. And I was glad that he said something, and I said thank you. And even now, I've got relationships with some different guys, and many of them I've told them. And as we get closer together, I would tell you the same thing. Don't call yourself my friend at all if you're not willing to get in my face and say, Sean, I have a concern. Because if you won't do that, I'm not sure how good of friends we are. Meaning if I'm in error and you guys see something or somebody has a concern, you know what? We should love each other enough to be willing to do that. And that's something that I still do. And so one little just thing to consider here is as we're talking about relationships with other men, right, there's a point where we need to give people permission to speak into our lives and then not get butt hurt if they do, right? So we're going to review a few different scriptures that kind of further illustrate that discussion. But before we do, let me mention this, that friends that are truly like brothers are not so important when the times are good, right? Anybody can high-five you when stuff is going awesome. That doesn't take a whole lot of commitment. But an intimate friend and a brother is needed when things are different, right? It takes caring and commitment and a willingness, again, to suffer the awkward and to push in when there's sin or there's offense or if there's grief or loss. You know, it's easy sometimes to pull back because it's awkward in any of those cases. And it can take courage to be like Paul, who's the one guy standing up and saying something with everybody else knows that the emperor has no clothes on, right? Paul was standing alone on that, and you know that couldn't have been a comfortable place to be in. So we're going to look at a few scriptures. I'm not big on slides, as you can see, but the audio is available. If you want these to look up later, you certainly can. But you're going to recognize this out of Job chapter 2. This is verses 11 through 23. Now, we call the story of Job. What happened essentially, in the course of one day, Job loses everything. Remember, he lost his fortune, he lost his money, he lost his family, sons. All kinds of terrible things happened, and it progressed to a point to where he actually got where his body was touched by the infirmity because of the enemy. So here is Job now, having lost everything, and now he's covered in boils. Heck, I don't think I've ever had a boil, but I've seen one, and I know that they're pretty miserable. This poor guy is covered in boils, but here's the point. He has three friends, and is Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they came to see Job. And I love this. This is Job chapter 2, verse 12. It says, and when they raised their eyes from afar, they didn't recognize him. And they lifted their voice and wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground for 7 days and did not say a word because they saw that his suffering was great. They saw him from afar and they wept. My God, that's my friend. I don't even recognize him. They wept. And I love that picture of compassion and shared suffering that we see in Job's friends. Irrespective of how things went after, these guys showed up and they pushed in. Proverbs 27:6, another familiar scripture, it says this. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Another version says that faithful, the bruises of a friend bring healing. And it seems a little counterintuitive to think that a friend would hurt you on purpose, right? But as the old saying goes, sometimes the truth hurts. Yeah? We all get that. And sometimes that kind of pain coming from somebody that genuinely cares for us, loves us, and coming from a place of love is just what we need. And Peter no doubt experienced that same thing. You can be sure that Peter, you know, kind of having his pants pulled down in front of everybody, metaphorically speaking, you think his pride is probably hurt? We don't know for sure, but Peter's a man like we're a man, and I would assume that that was probably an issue. But it's important, right? Because that wound, just like it was for me and Mike, you know what? That brought me healing. That taught me something that I needed to hear because I was a young man, still learning some things, was out of shape. Proverbs 27:17, you'll recognize the scripture, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Not a lot of explanation needed except that that's what it looks like when we're doing this right. Right? When we have relationships that are actually feeding each other, each one of us is sharpened. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now think about this. He's kind of three pictures. What happened with Job and his friends that were caring for him? What happens when you have a friend that's willing to sometimes come in and what feels like an injury to tell you the truth? And then to have someone who's sharpening you. I mean, you think about that, but what a blessing to have a brother who is there like that, right? A brother that's there when we've experienced grief or loss. Having that brother who's willing to push in and say something to you in kindness because he's got a concern. Maybe he's saying something to you about your potty mouth that doesn't fit, or he thinks you drink too many beers or whatever. I mean, you fill in the blank. But to have a brother that would do that, what a blessing that is. And what a blessing to have a brother that sharpens us and makes us better, right? But I wonder, do you guys think that's God's call to us? You think it's God's call to be willing to receive this kind of love? To be willing to accept someone else's investment in our life? I mean, that's really not all that noble. It's good for us to want it. But is that God's call? Now think about this. In John chapter 13, verse 12, this is Jesus speaking. He's washing the disciples' feet. And this is what he says. He says, "Do you know what I've done to you?" He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, because I am your teacher and Lord. But if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." He said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And guys, you see this, it's not just about washing feet. The point is, Jesus is showing us, he says that we're not here to serve. Rather, we're not here to receive or be served. We're here to serve others. And Jesus even said of it himself. Remember, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but rather to serve." So here we see Jesus showing this to his disciples. And that's you and me, us. And he said, "Guys, I didn't call you to be served. I've called you to serve." It's really, really not about us. And as much as we would like to have that guy that we've described in our life, that's there in the hard times, that's willing to speak the truth, the guy that sharpens us, as much as we would like to have that, I believe God's call is to be that guy. Be the brother who pushes in when someone's experiencing grief or loss. You and me, and we step in. You know, to be that guy that's willing to push in and even risk your friendship, risk the chances that things could go south if you say something. It's about being that guy. When we see a brother that's drifting or is potentially in error, so much more to talk about this, right? Because there's ways for us to do it well and ways to not do it well. I think God's call for us is to be a brother who actually sees his role as sharpening other men. So I came up with this idea, or maybe God gave it to me, but think about this. If the world was filled with only eaters, people that ate, if the world was filled with eaters, everyone would starve. But if the world is filled with farmers, everybody eats. And I think if we adopted that attitude that we wanted to be the guy to look out for other guys, we would see that everybody would find relationships or deeper relationships. Now listen, in a room this size, one, we all have different giftings, right? Some of us are outgoing and happy, not just happy, but just outgoing to a weird point, like irritating to those who are just a little bit more chill. Funny thing, so I was in a class, Crossroads 101, with Jim, and we're sitting there, and have anybody taken the 101 class? I suppose a lot of you have. Okay, so you know, it's just a briefing type scenario, but we're talking, and one guy around the group is telling us about, around the table, was telling us about himself. He had gone through some issues, and as he told his story, and Jim was sitting next to him, this guy starts to cry. Older gentleman. This guy starts to cry, and Jim's sitting next to him, and Jim just looked at him and reached over and put his hand on this guy's shoulder and expressed some real care. He didn't say anything, but I saw that, and I was like, that right there, that's special. That's not normal sometimes. Here's the funny part. So we didn't really have any conversation. I'm getting ready to walk out, and there's Jim like a young puppy waiting for me to come out of the thing. He's like, hey, I want to meet you. I'm like, well, I want to meet you. You know, not everybody's like that, and I get it. You know, we're just kind of off this other thing. And a lot of us have got, again, different giftings and different ways we look at it. So the point is, I know that we're at different places of confidence with spiritual matters and all the rest. So don't hear this in a way that's going to dismiss it. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's okay. Even if we're not a person that's a marathon runner, it doesn't mean you can't run. And if you're a person that says, you know what, I struggle with forming relationships, I struggle with reaching out, I'm not sure I see myself in this case, you know what, we don't start out as a marathon runner, we start out running. And so we can begin to make some moves that will help us in that way. And here's kind of another illustration that was beneficial for me, kind of along this same vein, that when you go into the military, you know, we all go to boot camp, and one of the first things that you do is you learn to march, right? Now, learning to march is partially about efficient troop movement, but the other part of it is about rigor and discipline. And the funny thing is, these are high school kids, these are college kids, but people from all over the place. And when you see these guys and gals trying to learn to march together, it's an absolute mess. You got people that are bouncing up and down as they're walking, and they're out of step, they can't get their dress, they can't get their cover. It's a complete gaggle. And so one guy next to another, nobody's above anybody else. They're both just learning to march. They're both learning to figure some things out. And I think that with the brotherhood that we're talking about, sometimes it's just that. We picture Paul and Peter, and we sort of count ourselves out of that because we think we've got to be this spiritual giant. I've got to have all this knowledge in order to be a Paul. But a lot of what we're talking about here is about relationships. And it might be that you're two guys learning to march together. You don't know it all, you haven't got it all figured out, but you're marching too, right? Yeah, I'm marching. And that's okay. It's not necessarily about knowledge, it's about heart first. And if it gets complicated in the midst of a relationship, well then we have other brothers that we can reach out to. So I want you to think about it. You know, maybe we think about, okay, kind of the hows, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but maybe you already have a heart for a guy that you've already met. You know, I described when I met Jim, he and I kind of hit it off, but because I saw his heart and his compassion for a guy, that's what kind of caught my interest. Maybe you've already got somebody that you've already got a heart for, somebody that you like. Maybe you know a guy that you'd like to be a little bit more like. You see a certain quality in his life. You're like, I would like to get to know that guy. Maybe there's another guy that's already got an interest in you, or maybe you're starting from scratch, but how do we begin? And amazingly, it's not a huge mystery, right? It might be, hey man, you mean just to grab a coffee? That simple, right? We begin. We take a step. We're not a marathon runner yet, but I can run. I can begin to step forward. Now, as I said before, most of us probably admire Paul in this scene, but we may struggle to see ourselves in it, right? Because we don't see ourselves as Paul. We all have different personalities and comfort levels, but the one thing we all still have in common is choices. And what I'm asking God is, I'm saying, let's ask God to help us be this. Help us to be that guy. We got to get out of this idea of how nice it would be for someone else to do it for us, and instead say, God, you've given me, you know, if all you have is loaves and fish to offer, Offer those loaves and fish. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have something big and complicated and amazing. Why? Because this is about love and it's about relationship before it's ever about knowledge. Just because Paul goes toe-to-toe with Peter doesn't necessarily mean that that's the model. But it gives us a reason to stop and think about the importance of having that guy when those times and those situations come up. Almost done. So, finally, as we grow in this, right, be gracious to yourself and be gracious to others. We all have issues and personalities. Some people may be salty. Well, maybe move on to the next guy. I don't know. But we all are like that, and we don't always get to hit it out of the park every time we try. You know, but and those things, again, can cause a real impact as far as our ability to be able to receive a Paul in our life or to be able to be a Paul. And so it's not always a perfect connection every time, but we've got to start somewhere. And a big thing that I want us to remember is that Jesus said it's not about you or me. This is not a message about receiving. It's really a message about giving in your own way, because I'm not the model, right? And Cameron's not necessarily the model. God made each one of you very uniquely, and that's okay. But each one of you has got something to offer another guy, even if it's just learning to march together, just becoming friends, and then allowing God to fill in all those other things as you move along. So my desire is not to give you a religious box to check. If you're just sensing pressure right now, that's not the intent. Let the Lord speak to you as you go forward. But if we were to flip this thing around, guys, and get out of the business of wishing, and instead of saying, I want to be that guy. You know, people's lives sometimes can go crazy and could go haywire. And imagine that it's just like, it's like a firefight and everything is filled with smoke and their life is just going crazy. And as smoke begins to clear, and then there's a guy, as the smoke begins to clear, that's standing there. He's that friend. He's that one that your life has just gone to a mess. And you picture your face there? That you're that friend? You're that guy that said, I'm willing to press in. I didn't leave. When all that stuff happens, when the smoke clears, is your face the one that is standing there, faithful, committed, and investing in the way that God made you, not Sean style necessarily? I want you just to experience the true blessedness of that friendship, both given and received, when we get beyond kind of the walls of superficiality that are so easy for us to live in. So I'm going to, there's a song I want to play here real quick. It's just a lyric video. And give me 1 second, and we'll get to it.